We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, live at the Doghouse Sports Grill, this is Inside Tech Basketball with Brooke Storr and Eric Kunkel, brought to you by Origin Bank, the official bank of La Tech Athletics, Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics, and by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. Now, here are your hosts, Malcolm Butler and Dave Nix.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inside Tech Basketball here live at the Doghouse Sports Grill at 102 North Homer Street in Ruston. I'm Malcolm Butler, and first half hour I'll be joined by Lady Texter head coach Brooke Storr. We'll talk about the two games this past weekend against Western Kentucky, take a look forward to the two games coming up this weekend in San Antonio against UTSA. And then the bottom of the hour will be Kane McGuire joined by Eric Conkle, and they will talk Bulldog basketball. But first things first, Brooke, welcome to the show. What'd you do on your snow day?
Well, I got up early this morning. The kids were outside playing about 7 or a little after. You know, you'd hope they'd sleep in on a out-from-school snow day, but they didn't. And so they were out and having a good time, had staff meeting on Zoom this morning, and then we had practice this afternoon.
I'm assuming when you said kids, you mean Aubrey and Cooper, not your basketball
yes,
players.
Yes, I was very clear to them that we didn't need a broken collarbone because we – got into a snowball fight, or you know, we're trying to tackle each other in the snow. So we were injury free at practice today, especially from the snow.
Well, good thing about snow days in North Louisiana, they usually last about 24 hours, and then tomorrow you won't see any of the white stuff, and things will start to dry out. So I think everybody seemed to enjoy today. Your basketball team, obviously coming off this past weekend, hosted Western Kentucky two-game conference USA series, WKU, Louisiana Tech. That series goes way back. This was the 49th and the 50th meeting all time between these two programs. The 50 games is the second most that of any opponent that Louisiana Tech has ever played, only behind UL Monroe, which the Lady Texans have played 56 games. We knew it was going to be a little bit different Western Kentucky team than what we've seen the last couple of years. These last few years, they have been very senior-heavy. They have really had some alpha players on that roster. When you look back at Tasia Brown and last year Dee Gibbons, and you can even go further back. But this is a much, much younger Western Kentucky team that didn't play a week ago. They had their Conference USA opening series against Charlotte postponed due to COVID issues, so they've had quite a while to prepare for Louisiana Tech. I guess going into this series, what was kind of the thought process about this year's WKU team?
Well, I feel like they've been playing better. I think they, you know, always typically play a tough non-conference schedule and knew going in, you know, they had faced a tough Mercer team, a tough Little Rock team on the road, and had been tested in some ways and knew that they would come in here and be refreshed and ready to go. We also knew that there was a good chance that Renee Meljadewe would be with them on the trip, and she was. But I think you go back to one key player for them going in, and that's Merrill Abdelgawad, who has been kind of a thorn in our side, just a player that's always around the ball. She's super active. You know, you just look up, and she's double-figure rebounding. She's their leading rebounder, and she's listed at 5'11", but she's 5'9" on a good day. And just really active and around the ball. And I think, you know, she's very experienced and has played a lot of minutes for them. And then knowing that she was going to be one that provided a lot of experience for them. And then I think we've seen Pui grow towards the end of last year. And then coming into this season, she's been their leading scorer. And so those two really were their focal point going in. They've got very talented young players. They're just freshmen and haven't played a lot. And so I think you're going to see them continue to get better. I think at the end of the season, that group's going to be pretty salty.
Well, you fell on Friday night 61-55 in a game that was really a one-possession game late. You came back on Saturday, bounced back, defeated Western Kentucky 58-52. So a couple of very low-scoring basketball games. And really, I think you can point to a lot of different things. But if you look at points in the paint, that was the big difference in this game. When you lose on Friday, you got outscored by 12 in the paint. You turn around, you win. On Saturday, you outscored them by 16, and a lot of that had to do the job on the glass.
Yeah, no question. We gave up 21 offensive rebounds on Friday, and you know, there haven't been many games this year really at all that I've been disappointed in our effort and our energy and our focus. And for whatever reason on Friday, I just didn't feel like our entire group had that. And we certainly didn't get that from our interior. And, you know, Bree scored, but we gave up 32 points in the paint, and we can't do that. And a lot of it was, we were getting beaten off the dribble, and it allowed for forced defensive rotation, which then would give up an offensive board because we'd have a small guard matched up on one of their bigs on the backside. And so I thought we did a much better job on Saturday. We came in and watched film on Saturday and just talked through that. And, you know, I challenged them. I challenged their effort, and I challenged, you know, our ability to get into someone and box out. And, you know, we gave up 11 boards to Abdelgawad and 13 to Pui. And, you know, we just can't have that happen. You can't have two double-figure rebounders, and especially their two leading rebounders. And I thought we answered the challenge on Saturday, and I thought our interior defensively was much better, but I thought it started with us containing dribble penetration.
You know, I know it's a coach's worst nightmare. I mean, you hate when you see your team not execute, but again, and we talked about this on the pregame show Saturday, when you feel like you've lost because of lack of effort, you've been out-competed during a game, I think that bothers a coach more than anything. Are you able to kind of put your finger on it after the game when you're talking to the players? I mean, just what the answer is?
Well, I think it's just look in the mirror and go, did I give my best? And did I give my best for the person next to me? And, you know, we can come up with a number of excuses, and everybody's dealing with a lot, and there's a lot of mental stress and anxiety from testing to whatever else there may be. But when you get out there and we get the opportunity to play, we have to take advantage of every opportunity that we get. And I just didn't think we, you know, played with that urgency on Friday night. Not like this group had been playing. It just looked like they weren't having fun. And I thought they came back and really responded on Saturday.
Well, and this team has shown, because you've been playing a really good defense, that even when the shots aren't falling, as long as the effort is there and then the execution on the defensive end is there, you're still going to find ways to win these ball games.
Yeah, and we have, and I think that's been such a big plus for us. I thought we struggled in those areas last season. We might be scoring it better, but we weren't getting stops, especially at key times. And this group's shown that they can do that. And I think we've been much, much improved on the boards. And I think that was a big emphasis for us going into the start of the season of where are these boards going to come from. And we've seen Amber Dixon step up on the glass. You know, Annalarn Bree are getting some. We need to have them, you know, increase their rebounding average a little bit. But if we can get, you know, Raizel's had games of 6 and 7 rebounds. If our guards can defensive rebound for us, it limits them to one shot, our opponents. And then number two, it starts transition offense for us. And I think if you look point back to that third quarter and why we scored 21 is I thought we had done a great job of forcing contested shots, getting rebounds, and then getting out and running and pushing before they could get their zone set. And, you know, I think it started with Mo Bolden. We talk a lot about impacting the game without scoring the basketball. And if you look at her stat line from Saturday, it's not going to jump off the page at you. But if you look at the stat sheets that we get, where it has the adjusted plus minus, and we can see their efficiency, she played like 8 minutes or 14 minutes, something like that. 8 minutes, 46 seconds, I think it was.
9 minutes, basically,
yeah.
9 minutes.
Eight,
yep.
8:46, did not attempt a shot, had 3 defensive boards, 4 assists, 0 turnovers, and was plus 10 for the game. And the next person closest to her was at plus 8. And so she had the highest plus minus on the team and did not score a basket, did not even attempt a shot. But I thought her defensive energy, her defensive boards that pushed in transition to set up a teammate, had a couple of good post-entry passes, one off an inbound play where she was the inbounder, and then the other on the right wing right in front of our bench to Annalarn to kind of get that run going in the third quarter, was huge.
Explain a little bit, and I know the NBA has been using the plus-minus for a long, long time, and it's just recently in college basketball since NCAA has started doing their live stats. Kind of explain the plus-minus to people.
Yeah, we keep it, you know, we do an efficiency chart in practice and throughout games, and we add a couple of different things of, you know, deflections and things like that that they don't. And it's basically when you're on the team, when you're on the floor, did your team score or – and did you give up points to the other team? So it's lineups and who's out there and what's happening when you're out there.
Gotcha.
So it's usually a really good indicator of how you're playing. Like Annalarn, I think, was minus 5 at halftime and then ends up being, I think she ended up being plus 5.
She was, yep.
So she had a big turnaround from one half to the second half and by the end of the game. So I think there's some value in that for us as we get those stat sheets during games. You know, it's just some accountability on what you think is happening out there. Is that really happening? And so for us, it's you can look up and go, gosh, you know, this kid's minus 6 and she's only played, you know, 5 minutes. We need to look at somebody else.
You know, and we mentioned on the outset talking about the difference of those two games as far as points in the paint and so forth. And I thought that Annalarn Robertson was a big key to that. It's not just one player
No.
from one day to the next, but she fouled out in 14 minutes on Friday, 2 points, 4 rebounds. You just weren't able to keep her out there much. And then Saturday she came back, played 28 minutes, 11 rebounds, 11 points, 7 rebounds. And I think that was a big reason that those numbers flipped.
Yeah, no doubt. Extreme difference in the game for her. And, you know, we met with her and watch some film, and it's just focus and energy wasn't there, and you know, made that adjustment in the second half, and I think, you know, just got to slow down and make the correct play. I thought she got herself out of position defensively a number of times where she had to rotate and then picked up fouls in those situations, and got to be smarter, got to play in a stance and just play more under control. But we need her out there. We need both she and Bree to give us those quality minutes every night, because if we can get that from both of them, then we're going to be in a really good spot.
And you played those two together on the floor at the same time a little bit more this weekend than what you've done leading up. Was that intentional, or was that just because of foul trouble, or was that?
Well, it was intentional. I'd like to play them together more, but it seems like one of them's in foul trouble all the time. And so if we can get to the point, and honestly, we liked their size against their zone, and we felt like we had a really good matchup on the back row. And you saw Saturday, we got some of those diagonal passes on the lob to the backside pin for Annalarn. So I think that, you know, we're just looking at some different things to get them on the floor at the same time, just for added size. And a lot of it's going to come down to matchups and who's going to try to defend them, how they're trying to defend them, and what we can do to attack that.
Raizel Ginto had a really good game on Saturday. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 0 turnovers, which is always big, and then 5 steals, and 2 of those were really big in the fourth quarter when it was like a one-possession game. And I think on 2 straight possessions, she picked off a pass and went the other way, and she laid it in one time, and she led it to a teammate for a layup the next time.
I thought it was her most consistent effort across the board. It was really good. I think she shot the ball. You go back to that second game at Marshall on that Saturday, and then the 2 games against Western. I think, you know, you look at her 3-point percentage now through 4 conference games, she's back up to about 38-39%, and that's, you know, where she needs to be. And some of that is we're trying to get her in some different spots on the floor and get her some more clean looks. And then the other part is just she just had good command of the basketball, didn't turn it over, made really good decisions. I thought she had a, you know, great weekend on the boards. I think she had 7 and 6.
She did. Yeah.
In those 2 games. So when she's rebounding like that, it starts our transition, and I think that's really big for us as a group, and it allows everybody else to kind of get out. It allows Walker to get out and run the floor and get to the wing. Dixon, the same thing, and then our bigs can run the lane and get to the rim.
Yeah, Lady Texter's split against Western Kentucky. It was nice to get the win Saturday. Snapped a bit of a losing skid against them. We hadn't had a whole lot of luck. A lot of close games over the last 10, but they had won 10 in a row against us.
Yeah, and we felt like we, especially last year, should have gotten that one. And then obviously Friday night, you know, we're easily sitting here, could be 4-0, and that's disappointing. But, you know, I think it's important. We're going to see, and I think we're the only school in both weekends that have split. Every weekend we've played, we've split. Everybody else has either lost 2 or won 2. So it's really interesting. I don't think we're seeing that on the men's side.
No, I think it's the exact opposite on the men's side, where they're mostly splits. And it is, you know, 13 conference series through 2 weekends, and 11 of them have been sweeps, and the only 2 that haven't have involved us. So.
Yeah, and I think some of that, too, I think it depends on matchups and who you're playing. So we'll see how that kind of plays out, and we'll see what the trends are as we go through the season. But I think for us, it's, you know, it's just so important to get out to a good start on Friday, and you know we were able to do that on that first weekend in Marshall, but then just couldn't get it going at home on Friday night. But we're able to bounce back, so hopefully we can get 2 this weekend and kind of get on a little streak. But yeah, we gave them the old Vita Scarolitis, you know, quote, you know, lose 16 times, but he wasn't going to beat me 17 in a row.
Right.
So we weren't going to let him get 11.
11. Special thanks to loyal Louisiana Tech supporters Bert Davis and the staff here for serving up the best burgers in the area during tonight's Inside Tech basketball. Make sure to come and eat where the Lady Texters and the Dogs eat prior to your next Bulldog or Lady Texter home game. The Doghouse Sports Grill, where the Bulldogs and the Lady Texters are always on. We'll be right back with more of Inside Tech basketball in a moment from the Doghouse Sports Grill. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Are you looking for a healthcare provider who not only offers exceptional care, but also treats you like family? At Green Clinic, you will find exactly that. Our physicians have been your friends, neighbors, and community leaders, offering comprehensive medicine right here at home for 70 years. Contact our offices to schedule your appointment Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 by calling 255-3690. That's 255-3690. Green Clinic, always caring, always convenient.
Loyalty is the foundation of great relationships. At Origin Bank, relationship banking is not just a term we use. It's a way of doing business that's been at the heart of our company for over a century. Louisiana Tech and Origin Bank have a long history of partnering to improve our communities in North Louisiana and beyond. Origin Bank is the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics and an ever-loyal community partner. Origin Bank and Louisiana Tech, a winning team. Bank Original, member FDIC.
Well, we're back for more of Inside Tech Basketball here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Lady Texter head coach Brooke Storr. And, Brooke, before we start diving into this weekend's opponent when we head to San Antonio to take on the Roadrunners, just talk a little bit about your basketball team and what we've seen so far through four conference games. It's been really good on one end of the floor. Obviously, defensively, I don't think you could probably be happier. I mean, opponents only scoring 56.2 points a game, somewhere in that ballpark, shooting about 33-34% from the field. I mean, defensively, this team playing really well. That's the good news. Now, the bad news is we've struggled to shoot it. Now, the other side of that, you feel like you've got a much better shooting team than what we've seen through four games. So you got to feel like that's going to start to come.
Yeah, I think so. And it's just we keep going back and evaluating. Are we, number one, are we getting good shots? Are we taking good shots? And are the right people taking those shots? And it's something that, you know, we continue to focus on with them. And not to make it a big deal, but you know, how are you preparing for a shot? Are we delivering scoring passes? Are we setting up teammates for easy shots? And, you know, honestly, too, I think this happens every year around conference play. We start – now, we've missed a lot of open shots, but we're not getting to the free throw line like we were in non-conference. We were well above most people in our league when you, in terms of number of free throws attempted. And, you know, we're shooting free throws very well as a group. I think that takes away, you know, scoring opportunities for us. I'd have to go back, but I think we were right around 18 free throws attempted during non-conference play. And, you know, we haven't had that many. We got 16 on Friday night, but only 11. And then I think we were at like 12 on Saturday at Marshall. And then we had a few more because they had to foul us at
the
end.
Yeah, you were actually around 22, 23 play. And it really has you're down around 15
right
now.
And that's a big difference. Yeah. You know, I mean, that you're looking at 6-7 more points a game. You know, you're up, you know, in the, you know, mid-60s then. And then, you know, I think sometimes, you know, when that happens, maybe you're not getting those foul calls and you're missing those shots. You're taking away those, you know, opportunities to score. But we got a bottom line is we got to knock down shots, and I feel like we're moving the basketball well. I think we're sharing it well. I think we just got to step up and knock down an open shot, and they will. I think that's the encouraging thing, is that we know they can, we know they're capable of it. And for us, it's you know, it's kind of exciting going in going, okay, when we get this part of it going,
right,
we continue to do the other, you know, play the other end well, then things really look up for us.
Yeah, only giving up under 60 points a game.
Taking care
overall.
Of it. You know, yeah, only 12 and a half turnovers a game in four conference games. I'm pleased with that. It's just, you know, we're rebounding well. It's just we've got to knock down shots.
Western Kentucky on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, completely zone. On
yes.
Friday, they played some man, didn't they? Especially early, or was it mostly zone?
They run a little matchup zone that after the second or third, I think it's the third pass, they go matchup and go man. So it's kind of bizarre. So if you take an early shot, which they want you to do, and they want to try to speed you up, they're in the zone. But we didn't see a possession of man on Saturday. So that slows down the game. It slows down number of possessions. And then I think we're defending pretty well and taking people kind of deep into shot clocks at times. So I think you're getting fewer possessions. We're not coming down taking a quick shot. And so you're looking at, you know, other teams in the league, FIU, Middle Tennessee, people like they're taking quick early shots and playing a much faster tempo offensively. And I obviously they're making shots, but I think there's some things that are playing into that as well.
You know, again, to stay on the defensive side of the basketball, you've ranked number one in Conference USA in turnovers forced per game, just over 20 a game. That's the most of any Conference USA team. And then you're number one by a large margin in turnover margin, which means you're plus almost four turnovers a game, which is quite a bit.
Which is great, because with the way we've shot it, we've
right.
needed to be
yes.
that good. And so I think if we can continue that and then, you know, knock down some open shots and get our shooting percentage up, then we'll be scoring the basketball, you know, at a much higher clip. And then we won't have to worry about being perfect on the defensive end.
You head to San Antonio on Thursday. You'll play Friday and Saturday against the Roadrunners. UTSA 2-7 on the year, so they have struggled. They're 0-4 in conference play. Now, two of those are against Rice, who's the preseason favorite. The other two are at North Texas, which is a pretty good team as well. So they've played some pretty good teams. And, you know, last year these two teams split. They beat us on our home floor when I know you don't like to remember to open up Conference USA play.
Probably the most disappointing game of the entire season last year.
Yeah, Michaela Woods, a freshman for them last year, went off on us in that game. I think 28-29 points. She got hurt. They didn't have nearly the conference. She went down about a week or two after they played us.
The next week,
I don't think they won another game the rest of the way. In fact, we beat them by 40 on their floor at the end of the season, so they were a totally different team. She's back, and start looking at the box score. She seems like she's starting to warm up a little bit for them.
She is, and then I think the X factor for them is Quezada. I think she's a very versatile player that's just extremely active. She can be a matchup problem for a number of teams, depending on what lineups people go with. But I think she's really good on the boards. She can create her own shot. She can shoot the three. She can post you up and score inside if you put a smaller guard on her. So I think they run some good stuff. I think they're very effective with their motion. We defended them very, very poorly last year, and you know, I'll take some blame for that. If I just didn't think I had a good plan going in for them and how to attack that. And first conference game, we just weren't very good. And I think we adjusted and made some changes on how we defended what they were doing. And then we were able to turn them over and get out and knock down some shots and transition against them there. So I think they rebound the basketball really well. I think we got to do a great job of making them take contested shots and then limiting them to one shot on the offensive end. And then I think we've got to force them to guard us and, you know, try to get to the free throw line and attack their depth some.
You know, and you look at their stat sheet, and again, they're just numbers through nine games, but only shooting about 17% from the three-point line. So it's not a team that's going to normally...
Well, you know, Western Kentucky wasn't shooting very well from the three-point line either, and then we played them, and they did. So.
But not a team that I would think that's going to be your focus.
Yeah, I think we've got to do a great job of, again, limiting their interior touches. And they get those by dribble penetration. They get those from... you know, their curls off their motion and their screening action and just their activity in the paint and their cuts to the rim. And we've got to do a great job of just playing good, solid team defense, getting in help side and eliminating their easy looks at the rim and force them to take some contested outside shots. And like I said, just limit them to one shot offensively.
With the back-to-back conference games and only one opponent each weekend, I know last week you kind of told us a little bit about what the game plan was as far as practice. I think you're changing it up a little bit this week. Talk a little bit about what the schedule is.
Yeah, with the weather, we were kind of unsure of what would happen today and what things would look like, but we kind of went in going, you know, we're going to try something a little bit different. You know, I think it's important that I hear what my players feel and we're talking to them on what their bodies feel like and maybe mentally what the week looked like and how it shaped up. And I felt like after 2 weeks we might have somewhat of a feel and kind of felt like going in that Tuesday off would be better than having Monday kind of limited instead of going Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, play Friday, Saturday. And so yesterday we took completely off. Today we came in and got work in, watched film, got after it, got some extended reps for our backups and our younger players against our practice guys and some game situations, some scrimmages, played an entire quarter, and then worked on some defensive principles that we'll, you know, need to continue to get better at as a group and some things that we'll face this weekend. And then we'll take tomorrow and just get individual work in as far as getting extra shots up and those things. And then we'll be back at it on Wednesday as a group to prepare Wednesday, Thursday, play Friday, Saturday. We'll see how that works this week.
Yeah, hey, go to World, see what happens. We'll be leaving Thursday morning, taking a bus down there. It's about 8 hours. We'll leave that morning, get down there. I'm assuming, are we going to go to the arena that evening when we get there?
Yes, we will. And we'll get a little shoot-around in, and then we'll do another shoot-around day of the game. We don't play until 6. But just typically we would take a flight there, but just trying to avoid airports and stay out of, you know, contact and closed air spaces with other people. And so I think our players were excited about that after our flight to San Antonio last year.
Yeah, that
you
was
were
no
on that
fun,
that
yes.
was not fun. I've not been excited about flying since then. So they were excited to be hopping on the bus. But again, I think it's we can control a little bit more of that atmosphere and that environment that they're in when we do that, as opposed to being in the airport.
Well, best of luck this weekend. Again, UTSA Friday night, tip-off for that one is 6 o'clock. And then Saturday, tip-off for Saturday is 4 o'clock. The Saturday game will be on ESPN+. Best of luck in San Antonio.
Thanks, Malcolm.
That's Louisiana Tech head coach Brooke Storr. When we come back, Kane McGuire will be joined by Eric Conkle. They'll talk Bulldog basketball. You're listening to Inside Tech Basketball on the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hey, Bulldog fans, this is Chase Patterson, physical therapist at Legacy Outpatient Therapy Services. As a Ruston native and a graduate of Louisiana Tech, it has been my pleasure helping the people of Ruston and its surrounding communities get back to optimal health. Whether you're an athlete, weekend warrior, or just trying to enjoy a pain-free retirement, come see us at Lots and we'll help you achieve your goals. Give us a call at 255-9601 or find us on Facebook or Instagram to set up your first appointment. Lots, your home for trusted therapy solutions.
Powered by Legacy Rehabilitation, official partner of La Tech Athletics.
This commercial is for men only. Here's a tip to save you time, a tip to save you worry and frustration, a tip on an investment. First, let's save you time during the search for a gift for your best gal. Go straight to National Jewelry. Now, you won't worry and get frustrated and want to get her because whatever you get her from National Jewelry has got that wow factor. And the investment, it's solid. Gold, silver, and diamonds. Kind of simple, wouldn't you say? National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement ring store, Reynolds Drive in Ruston, where nobody says I do like we do.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
At Century Next Bank, we don't just do business in our communities. We invest in them, and that means investing in you. We are here for all the moments in your life, from your very first car, to the day you walk down the aisle, to the day you celebrate your retirement. We are here for all the moments in your life, life's experiences that define you. When a bank becomes more than a checking account or a loan, we are here. Century Next Bank. What's next for you? Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're back for more Inside Bulldog Basketball live from the Doghouse Sports Grill. I'm Kane McGuire filling in for the Hall of Famer, Dave Nitz, and I'm joined now by Bulldog Basketball head coach Eric Conkle. Coach, welcome to the show, and thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thanks, Kane. You're in the Hall of Fame in our book, so
well,
appreciate you.
I don't know about that, but for the next half hour, we're going to talk about the Bulldogs and their road split at Western Kentucky this past weekend. We'll obviously talk about the upcoming home series against UTSA and much more. But first, the most important question, who won the snowball fight this morning? Was it you, Ethan, Ryan? Was it Megan?
Well, I'd call it a draw. Everybody got their licks in. Definitely got warmed up after a while, but that was something to have a snowball fight in Ruston. That was our first time ever.
Well, I know it was only about 4 or 5 inches, but it did remind you at all of home back in Amherst, Wisconsin.
It did, of like September at home.
Okay.
So, you know, we get into the snow pretty early growing up, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's nice when it melts after a few days, but it's 6 straight months of it that got hard.
Well, and speaking of Amherst, that's my segue in here. It got announced earlier this past week, I believe, that the inaugural class of Amherst Schools Hall of Induction, and you were part of the 3-member group to be inducted into that Hall of Fame. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Very, very humbling and honored to be a part of it. I grew up in a very small town, a very rural part of Wisconsin, but there's great history in athletics and terrific people in that community. So to be thought of that way is, very, very humbling.
Well, you still hold the school record for career points, 1,871. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. I know I hold the record in shot attempts too. So, but yeah, we We scored the ball when I was in high school.
Well, you sound a lot like Dave. He said he there was never a shot that he didn't like.
Yeah, that's for sure. No, I'd be right there with Dave.
Well, congratulations on that once again. A rare thing for the Bulldogs to do, and even for you and I, this past weekend, we got on a flight. The Bulldogs stayed in the state of Louisiana during all of non-conference, even including the three road matchups. And if I'm not mistaken, the last flight that either of us were on was going to Bowling Green, Kentucky, almost a year from now.
It's exactly right. Had not been on a flight since then. And the parallels of, getting on a flight and playing them, and, of course, we had a close loss last year, and then getting back on, it's been a long, long time. But, thankful that we were able to pull it off, and of course, very thankful we were able to get a win.
Well, the Bulldogs did get the split. Lost a tough one on Friday night, 66-64, but then were able to bounce back and win game two. In thrilling fashion, 63-58. You were on the opposite side last weekend. You won the first game and then lost the second. This time you lose the first game, win the second. Did it feel any different, especially in between? I mean, it obviously had to, but what was the feeling of those two series?
Well, the feeling, when you win the first game, you're really trying to – or you lose the first game, you're trying to figure out what can we repeat that went well, what can we get better at that didn't. But of course, when you win the first one, you're feeling like, okay, we know we're capable. We know we've done this before. Now we got to do it again. When you lose the first game, you're like, you're still confident. Especially we had a shot at the buzzer to win it, and you're just feeling like, okay, we got to get our mindset correct and be able to recover from the loss and move on. And it's debatable which one is easier because. Sometimes winning begets winning, where you feel like, hey, we can do this again. And sometimes when you lose, you're even more charged up to know, like, hey, we can get this done. So we've got a group of guys that are competitive every time out. I didn't really sense all that much difference. But they were certainly fired up in both games, and we were able to make enough plays in the second game to come away with the win.
Well, you knew it was going to be a tough task going into the weekend. I mean, Western Kentucky's preseason favorite. They've been the preseason favorite for the past 3 years. Extremely talented group, and you're going into a place where the Bulldogs have not had much success. Hadn't won since the year 2000. Had suffered some really tough losses, a couple in overtime, a couple one-point possessions. And then you look at Friday, you have a six-point lead with about 9 minutes to go. And you're playing really, really good defense, but Western Kentucky was just able to get to the free throw line again after again.
That was the difference. Their ability to get offensive rebounds, and then they got to the foul line, and they shot 31 free throws, made 24 of them. And that's just a really, really difficult thing to overcome, especially on the road where they are excellent at making free throws. And, some of it comes from offensive rebounds. Some of it, of course, are tough, tough calls. But we just kept sticking with the plan and kept moving forward and we weren't so successful at the free throw line in the first game, and that's one of the things I look towards that we could have done a little bit better, and then we did that better in the second game.
Yeah, even though it was a tough loss, I felt like in the locker room after the game on Friday that there was still, it was upbeat, it was pretty positive, guys weren't too down. So did you feel that same way?
I did, and some of that is knowing that we have to play the next game, and it's something that we've talked about repeatedly as we prepare for conference, that no matter win or lose Friday night, we can't dwell on what happened all that much. We've got to be able to analyze it. We've got to have almost a non-emotional view of the game and just figure out what we can get better at. And I could sense that from the team right away, like, gosh, we really had a shot at that one. We had a shot at the buzzer, and we got to get this one tomorrow.
Yeah, and Amari Archibald, from my vantage point, it looked like it was going in. I don't know about yours, but it was a little bit off to the right, I believe. And, you look at Amari, a senior that's been in the program for 4 years. He had a tough night that night, went 2-14 from the field. But it's rare that you get to redeem yourself the very next day, less than 24 hours later, against the same opponent on the same floor. And I thought him as a senior really stepped up and redeemed himself, as did the entire team on Saturday coming up with the win.
Yeah, that's what you feel so good about. And I said that to the team. I mean, we get a chance to bounce back right away. And it just shows you how the game is it can be so fragile in a way where it's slight changes or subtle differences from day to day where Mari didn't have his best game. He didn't shoot the ball well at all on Friday night. And yet to be able to turn that around not quite 24 hours later and played a very good game, was good from the field, made some terrific plays. So says a lot about him, says a lot about our team, just their mental toughness to be able to bounce back and play well.
Well, he was very efficient on Saturday. He shot 5 of 8 from the field, hit 2 3-pointers. In fact, his second 3-pointer, and another shout-out, allowed him to reach 1,000 career points, became the 43rd member of the 1,000-point club, which is special. So another great thing to see in Amari's storied history here at Tech.
Yeah, no, he's a guy, and I know I told you after the game, so satisfying and fulfilling as a coach to see him as a young man go to his house when he's a high school senior and then watch his progression throughout his 4 years here at Tech and be a very good player and be a part of a lot of wins.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but there is a good article, I believe, on LaTechSports.com about Amari Archibald, just going from being the youngest person on the team. In fact, he was 10 months younger than the next youngest person when he got here on campus back in 2017 as a freshman, and now he's your most experienced Bulldog. I think he's played in about 103 games now and has over 1,000 career points. So he's been a special player for you, and it's a good article. I thought it was.
It's a great article. It's a great article, and well written by you with terrific content, too. And
it's got some good quotes in there from my head coach.
but he's, one of my favorite things about Amari is he was a guy that I was actually very concerned on his official visit because it was during football season and Amari was an all-state football player too. And I'm like, gosh, he says he wants to play basketball. I don't know if I want to take him to one of our Bulldog football games and him get all excited about playing football again.
Yeah.
So, but he stayed true to form. He said he wanted to play college basketball and he certainly wants to play after college and he's working hard to do that.
Well, another person that was key for you this weekend was Andrew Gordon. I thought he probably played his two best games as a Bulldog since he's been here. Your big 6'10", 260 center, recorded his first double-double as a Bulldog on Friday with 12 points and 10 rebounds. Comes back again Saturday, scores 13 points. In fact, he went 12 of 14 from the field for you. So I know you were happy to see what he was able to give for you on the front court.
He was spectacular. And I agree, and I told him today, I said, hey, this is the best two-day stretch that you've had, and it's now building off of that. And whatever that motivation was, whatever you felt and whatever you did to get ready, let's repeat that often. Practice, games, because he was, I thought at times, and Charles Bassey gets a ton of credit, and he's a very, very talented and very special player. But I thought there were times on the floor where Andrew Gordon was the best player on the floor.
I did too. Like I said, Andrew Gordon went 12 of 14 from the field and was a real contributor for the Bulldogs. Also going back to the second game on Saturday, I thought ball movement was a big key in your victory. The previous four games, you had been held to single-digit assist. But you go on Saturday and get 15 assists. So I thought the ball movement was especially important in getting the win.
Yeah, it's something that we've been talking about. And our team is constructed a little bit differently. We've got some guys that can score off the dribble and are put into positions with passes, but then they take a dribble or two to get themselves to a spot. But I told our guys, we need to get more catch and shoots. We need to get more cutting and creation. We watched a lot of video from the night before. And I thought our guys did that. I mean, we were able to get some better shots. We still got a ways to go, but we took a step in the right direction.
Well, I think you definitely took a step in the right direction when it comes to defense. It seems like that just keeps getting better and better for you. And I think I may have told you the stat, but Western Kentucky came in with a season low in field goal percentage of 42.3%, and that was against Rhode Island. And this is a Western Kentucky team that's played Alabama, West Virginia, Memphis. They played some really good teams. You held them to 35.7% shooting in the first game. And then you even topped that up in game two. You held them to 35.2%. So I thought it was back-to-back games on their home floor. The two teams, the Bulldogs, were locked in defensively in both games.
Well, it was something that needed to happen to be able to beat them, because and be in the position to win the game on Friday. And we talk all the time about to be great and to be in a position to win your league. 90% of the teams that do that in Division I basketball finish in the top three defensively in their league. It's just something that has to happen in basketball. Unless you were just a special, special offensive team where you can rely on outscoring people every time. And, of course, we want to play great offense, and we're working towards that. But to really make movements in March and throughout the year, we've got to be good defensively. And I think our guys have showed great buy-in in that. And then they're just becoming more connected with one another, with the communication and the things that we need to do to game in, game out, to be able to stop people.
Well, one more compliment for your defense. Tavion Hollingsworth seemed to have been a thorn in the Bulldogs' side. You even think back to last year when he scored 43 on us in that second game. And I thought the Bulldogs held him in check in both games. I think he was just combined 7 of 28 from the field, got most of his points from the foul line. So what were you able to do in both of these games, really, to try and lock him down and not let him go off like he did last year?
Well, I'd say some of this is, with preparing for one team a week, you can really lock into a concept, maybe a slight adjustment. And for us, we adjusted our defense a little bit. It's something very small, but it took some time to practice. And our focus really was, in looking at Western Kentucky, is that we needed to keep them out of the paint the best we could. Bassey's post touches, their dribble penetration, and then their offensive rebounds. And we just really tried to gap them, almost dare them to shoot more threes. They made some in the second game, but I just told the guys, like, hey, those threes that are made, that's on me. You just keep keeping them out of the paint, and I think this will work out. And it ended up being true, because they are so, so good at getting to the basket and getting layups, getting fouled, getting offensive rebounds. We just felt like if we can keep them out of there, they'll give us the best chance.
Yeah. Well, congrats on that Saturday win. It was a big one, 63-58. Over the preseason favorite Hilltoppers. When we come back, we'll have more Inside Tech basketball from the Doghouse Sports House Grill. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Northern Louisiana Medical Center is a nationally recognized and award-winning hospital, but we put emphasis on supporting our local community too. That's why we're proud to support our Louisiana Tech Bulldogs as the official imaging partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics. Support the Bulldogs and Northern Louisiana Medical Center by staying local for your health care. Northern Louisiana Medical Center, quality, community, and excellence of care.
Slam dunk your super savings at Super One Foods.
While the Bulldogs dominate the court,
Super One Foods takes you above the rim with low prices. Get the game-winning assist with our Super Wall of Value Savings. Cashier backing, along with buzzer-beating low prices to feed your team
for less.
Go Bulldogs and go to Super One Foods. Proud supporters of the La Tech Bulldogs. Super One Foods. Shop, save, smile.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
Loyalty is the foundation of great relationships. At Origin Bank, relationship banking is not just a term we use. It's a way of doing business that's been at the heart of our company for over a century. Louisiana Tech and Origin Bank have a long history of partnering to improve our communities in North Louisiana and beyond. Origin Bank is the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics and an ever-loyal community partner. Origin Bank and Louisiana Tech, a winning team. Bank Original, member FDIC.
When the Bulldogs are on the road, the Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game watch party destination. Call today to make your reservation for away games, because this is the place to be. Doghouse Sports Grill, where the Bulldogs are always on. And Coach, you know, we celebrated a good bit after that Saturday win at Western Kentucky, and I thought rightfully so. I mentioned it, first time the Bulldogs had won there since 2000. I think it was just the way the Bulldogs have lost there. You know, just been some really tough games. You think back to your first year losing in overtime. Then I think it was 2017 we opened up the season there, and you're practically a missed blockout on a free throw away from winning. And then you lost in overtime again last year, had that big lead, that 17-point lead, gave it up. And then again Friday, a one-possession game, had a chance to win at the end. But being able to pull it out, whereas another one-possession game down there in the stretch, you were the ones that made the winning baskets and the winning plays. So, like a congrats to you. I thought it was a big win against a tough opponent in a tough environment, a place where the Bulldogs just don't have much success.
Yeah, we've been right there, and that's the – it's part of the thing that keeps you, whatever it is, it keeps you locked in. And you just, guys, we have guys on our team that are veterans that have been a part of a number of those games, certainly last year and then the 2 years prior to that. You know, Jacoby Pemberton has been there for all of them. You know, Amari, Xavier Christian. So those guys have been very, very motivated to try to find a way against Western Kentucky. And not many people go into Diddle Arena and win, period. And we've been very, very close. We've been very, very competitive and right there. And each time we played there, we feel like we could have came away with a win, and thankfully we were able to do that on Saturday.
Well, you mentioned Jacoby Pemberton. He was the one that had the big putback on the offensive rebound, got the big defensive rebound whenever Hollingsworth went down to drive to try and make it a one-point game. So for him, you know, just seeing him come up with those big plays, knowing that he's a fifth-year senior, what did that say about him and his resolve and being able to make those big plays for you?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I told him that we're really gonna go as he goes with his energy and his rebounding, and of course we want him to score too. But that's what your seniors are all about, and he's a captain. He made some really big plays. He got us off to a good start on Friday night, too. He had a really nice weekend there at Bowling Green. And, you know, big dunk off the lob against their zone and just provided a steady hand for us. And that tip-in was a monster tip-in.
It was. The Bulldogs are now 2-2 in Conference USA play after their first two series. And Malcolm mentioned in the first part of the show, it's the complete opposite for the women. They're seeing mostly sweeps than splits. On the men's side, there's been 8 splits and 3 sweeps so far in conference play. So what's your analysis so far through the first 2 weeks?
I just think it comes down to there's a number of teams that are pretty even. I think our league is very, very balanced. I think there's also just whatever it is, it's that it's a tricky thing to be able to play an even game the next day and then come away with the next one. I think if teams are very lopsided, then it's different. But when you're pretty even, each night is different. I mean, it just can be that way.
Something else that's different, and you know, it got announced a few days before conference play even began, is that CUSA was going to divisions for the first time, just like football. You were going to be in the West, and then there was going to be an East division. Marshall and Western are both in the East division. And this will actually be your first West Division opponent in UTSA. So are there any new dynamics? Is there going to be added motivation for this weekend, thinking that you're a division opponent? Is there like a heightened sense of more importance maybe?
Well, you're impacting each other within your division. So, of course, I mean, it's only the top 6 go to the tournament, so one team will be left out of each division. The top 2 teams in each division will get the first round bye. Now, there's also, we got to see how many teams play how many games, because to earn a bye, you've got to play within 4 games of the average among the entire league. So there's a lot of different rules that are going to go into play. I don't think all of them are finalized yet. We're just still trying to figure out how this thing goes. But when you play a division team, you've got a little bit more control of your destiny, where you can create some separation in the standings.
Have you educated the players at all about this new division standings and whatnot and how that'll impact things?
I actually talked to the team about it today and just let them know how this is going to work, because I just think it's important. Of course, it doesn't change how important each game is. They all count as one. We want to win every game we play, but it is good to know how this is going to be decided at the end, so there's not any surprises.
Well, like we mentioned, UTSA comes into the Thomas Assembly Center on Friday and Saturday, and Coach Javon Jackson and Keaton Wallace are still on the team. It seems like they've been there 6 years. Those two guards, they've combined to score almost 4,000 career points, just two elite scorers, and it seems like we've been going up against them for about 6 years.
They're sensational guards. I mean, they can score it. They can score it from deep. They can score it from mid-range and at the rim. They've added a couple pieces to their roster, and they've coming off a really nice win against North Texas. So, you know, another team that was picked towards the top of the league and another split. So they've got a lot of guys that can put the ball in the basket. Last year when we played them, they were red hot from three down at their place. So we've got to, again, it's going to come down to how we defend. We've got to take care of the basketball, but we're going to have to limit Jackson and Wallace as best we can.
You mentioned they've added a few more pieces, and it seems like that's just the way it is. You got the core, Wallace and Jackson, that have been there the last 4 years. So what are some of the new pieces that they've added to go around them?
Well, they've got a transfer from Houston in Sed Ali. Now, he's been out a little bit, trying to figure out if he's going to be back. Eric Parrish, a transfer from Nevada, that's kind of like a forward type that's had a nice career, and he's finding his niche and role. And then they've got some other guys that were on their team last year that have now emerged into some other roles. Barisic in the front court is a guy that can shoot the three and rebound. And then they've got some other guys, Ivy Curry, that is a freshman that's contributing. So they're going to play with great tempo and pace, but they're going to shoot the three, and they're going to look to score. And we've got to be able to score as well. But, again, you start with Wallace and Jackson and limiting them. That's the number one priority.
What do you think are some of the keys to just trying to limit them? Because you know they're going to get off a lot of shots. That's just what they do. They take a lot of shots, both of them do. I think they take more than 50% of the entire team's shots. So even when they get some to fall, you know they're going to eventually just because they shoot so much. So how do you kind of – you know, stress to your team not to get too demoralized when they see a couple of those shots go in for them.
Well, you're exactly right. They're volume scorers, and they can get hot in bunches, but they can also get cold in bunches too. And what we've got to do is we've got to be able to look to take away certain things and be consistent with it. You can't take away everything, and we just got to take a look at the things that will hurt us the most, not only in their scoring, but their ability to create for other people. And number one thing is we've got to be able to limit their transition opportunities because they're really good at catching you when you're on your heels, whether you've just scored the ball or they've stopped you and now you're converting back into your defense. We've got to make them play half-court offense.
Do you feel like you can use your front court to your advantage once again? Because that's been a big advantage for you so far this year. You talk about the emergence of your freshman, Junior Lofton, and now Andrew Gordon coming on. I mean, you outscored Western Kentucky by 18 with points in the paint on Saturday, and that's a team that gives you Charles Bassey and Carson Williams. So do you feel like your front court and getting those paint points is a way you can take advantage of this matchup?
Yeah, I think at both of our forward positions, from Junior and Andrew Gordon to Jacoby Pemberton and Isaiah Crawford, those four guys have been real, real consistent for us as a group, as a unit. And we've done it a couple different ways. Sometimes it's Isaiah and JP together. Sometimes we'll slide JP over and play him with Isaiah and or Junior or Drew. But we've got to be tough on the inside, and we've got to be able to score around the basket. It'll open up everything else.
You mentioned Isaiah Crawford. I've got to throw him some love too. He's been tremendous for you lately as well. Aside from Saturday, he was your leading scorer in your three previous conference games. You've asked him to do a lot. You know, he's had to play the five for you, play the four. He's been very versatile for you, and I know you're happy to have him back after losing him last year to that knee injury.
Oh, yeah, it's so nice having him back. He does so many different things for us. I mean, he passed the lob to JP on the backside for the dunk against their 1-3-1 on Saturday.
He had the assist to Amari for his 1,000th career point, which is nice.
He did. He's just a very good all-around player, and he's getting better and more comfortable. And he doesn't worry about anything other than just trying to win the game. He doesn't worry about what position we ask him to play. Doesn't worry about a lot of different things. Everybody knows him here. He's just got that even personality, but he's burning inside to help us win the game.
Yeah, he's been very good for you, and hopefully he'll continue to grow and grow, because it feels like he's just now getting into his sophomore year, considering how many games he missed last year. Let's touch on Friday. It's going to be special. It's going to be the Fight for Literacy game. I believe this will be the sixth straight year that the Bulldogs team up with Coaching for Literacy. So just talk about that program and what it does for our local community.
Yeah, so there's an opportunity to raise money for our local community, especially our Dogs with the Cause program that we started in my first year here through our School of Education. And we've partnered with now other athletic programs here at Tech, with other different elementary schools throughout the community. Of course, during COVID, we've not been able to do it in person. We've done it remotely in reading to the classes and just trying to provide some type of role model and mentorship from our players. And I think reading and being able to read well is really a core fundamental of great success and confidence in young people as they reach adulthood, and we want to be a part of that.
I know the coaches usually wear the green ties with their suits as part of this. You got to go with a polo because you're not wearing suits this year.
That's a great question, Kane. I've not even thought about the fashion aspect of this. We're going to have to figure something out.
We will.
We have to figure something
maybe
out.
Just, I know you got the green pin. You can toss that on there, but I don't think the tie is going to go good with the polo.
No. We're not going tie and polo. That'd create too much attention, I think.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll wrap up Inside Tech Basketball for week two. You're listening to Inside Bulldog Basketball live from the Doghouse Sports Grill. This is a lot from Learfield, IMG College.
Can be your most attractive feature, helping you express health, success, and sincerity. This is Dr. Paige Valentine. At Trenton Dental Center, our goal is to help you have a winning smile by providing you with superior dental care in a relaxed, friendly environment. From toddlers to seniors, our experienced staff at Trenton Dental Center welcomes you. Trenton Dental Center, located at 1605 North Trenton in Ruston, and online at TrentonDentalRuston.com.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
No matter what challenges life throws your way, Century Next Bank is here for you. Whether it be buying your first home, or welcoming new members of the family, or facing all the financial burdens that come with this journey we call life, Century Next Bank is here for you. For solutions to help you face this brave new world, we are here. Century Next Bank, what's next for you? Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Ever put your watch on at 7 in the morning only to notice it reads 2:35? Or that sinking feeling when you click your vehicle remote and the doors don't open? You need to see Paul at National Jewelry. Watch batteries, vehicle remote batteries, install quickly. Paul can also fix that link in your watch band and all other jewelry repair, and they do it in-house. Guys, please don't forget your anniversary this month. National Jewelry has their special surprise. National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement and battery store. Reynolds Drive, Ruston.
A reminder, La Tech fans, your Bulldogs are back in action inside the Thomas Assembly Center on Carl Malone Court starting on Friday at 6:30 p.m. against the Roadrunners of UTSA, and then again on Saturday at 6 p.m. Both of those games will be streamed live on ESPN+. And, of course, you can always listen to Dave Nitz and Jack Big Pig and call the action on the La Tech Sports Network. Coach, thanks for having me on the show, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks for having me, Kane.
All right, that'll do it. From us, from Doghouse Sports Grill, you've been listening to Inside Tech Basketball live on the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. So long, everybody.
Live at the Doghouse Sports Grill, Inside Tech Basketball has been brought to you by Origin Bank, the official bank of La Tech Athletics. Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the La Tech Sports Network.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.